Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. That was a quick cutoff. I was expecting more, but nevertheless, we are here, and I wish to welcome you to this Monday edition of Stand in the Gap Today. And, of course, along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl, and this is the beginning of our second week of being on the air every day at this same time on this same radio station with this news analysis program that we believe will be advantageous to you in every aspect of your life. What we attempt to do is take some of the issues that are out there in the world around us and to bring the Word of God as well as the United States Constitution to bear upon the issues. And, of course, this is a ministry of the American Pastors Network, and the president of the American Pastors Network is Sam Rohr. And Sam, why don't you just give a basic update concerning what APN is to our audience, because we did that last Monday, and we may have new listeners today, and I think it would be good for them to know a little bit more about APN.
Well, absolutely, Gary. It's a great opportunity to do that and glad to. The American Pastors Network, for those of you who are listening, perhaps for the first time, is the only national organization of pastors, network of pastors of its type in the country. And our purpose is to come alongside, help to identify, encourage, and equip pastors who are in the pulpits of America to stand up and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. And we say to stand in the gap for truth. The reason that is because we believe that without a doubt from a biblical perspective that that pastors in the pulpit hold a divine position before God. It's a position commanded of God to preach the word into the home and the church and the civil government, and that we, because the Bible contains all the information that we need to deal with any issue of life, be it personal or family or society or national or international, the biblical principles are there. And in these days when we are increasingly seeing Brother Dave and Gary, the rise of such a failed leadership or corrupted leadership, be it nationally or silent leadership in the pulpits of America or families falling apart, the world is wondering what in the world to do. And we say there's an answer. And that answer comes from the Word of God. It's the truth of God's Word, spoken publicly, boldly, clearly, applied carefully. And that needs to be done and led by the pastors in the pulpit. So even this radio program and the other two Stand in the Gap radio programs we have, the Stand in the Gap Weekend, our program now that's on over 150 stations across the country, and then the Minute program, which is on over 50, all of them work together to help demonstrate publicly to those who are there that that pastors can and should know the truth of God's Word, should know the events of the day, and know how to take and connect those dots, which really is what this program, Stand in the Gap Today, is all about. So that's why, as you said earlier, this comes from a perspective, a biblical worldview perspective, that is Bible-based and constitutionally consistent. Bible-based because that's where the source of truth is, and constitutionally consistent because the issues of the day that really concern all of us are and fall within the biblical jurisdiction, most of the cases, of civil government. And so we must know and be able to talk about civil government matters. We are in a constitution, so that's why we talk about constitutional things and how it comes to bear on these two, a unique perspective, not done really in any program that I know across the country. And so that's what people who are, those who are listening, that's what you will get with God's help for us as we proceed forward on this program and in the days ahead.
And, of course, since the American Pastors Network has been in operation, Sam, we have found that a lot of pastors are, as it were, coming out of the woodwork saying, you know, we have needed something like this, or we've learned things through APN that we've never known before. And so already in just our short life of existence, we see that God has been using the APN to motivate pastors all across the country.
That's exactly correct. I just came from a conference in North Carolina. Actually, I'm still in North Carolina, Dave's home, and not too far off from him, even as we're doing this broadcast. But I was with pastors from across the country, some of which they were able to hear about the mission of the American Pastors Network for the first time. Others had heard and were able to find out more, but the response that you just gave is what I have been hearing over and over and over again as recently as last week. Wow, this is something that we have been praying for. So good to know. How can we become a part? We want to become a part of establishing a chapter of pastors to give a framework for pastors to speak with a united voice in their own respective state. This is all of God's doing, and we believe that the reason that we're seeing God bless in this fashion is because it is a model that really comes out of the Scripture, and we believe, you know, that the three of our hearts and the others that are part of our this network are committed to bringing glory to the Lord first, honor to God first, knowing that biblical obedience will yield blessing, but it's got to come in that order. You know, we want God's blessing in this country. We're seeing great difficulty, but at the end of the day, we believe it's because we've not done God's will His way, and there must be a leading back to that effort. And so as this happens, it is giving great boldness to pastors across the country, and we're so glad to be a part of it.
Indeed we are. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to learn more about the American Pastors Network, you can go to our website and learn about it. Sam, what's that website?
That website is AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
And we would encourage you to go there as often as possible because there's some good material there for you. Now, this next subject is a subject that doesn't necessarily have to do with the existence of our nation or not much with our founders, but it's something that I know it would be of interest to those of you who are in the Philadelphia area, and that is the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles have just signed Tim Tebow to be one of the quarterbacks for the upcoming NFL season, a good Christian who stands for biblical truth, and yet it seems as though he's having a difficulty making headway in the NFL. And David Kistler, I'm going to go to you on this for a comment. We've only got a couple of minutes here, but he seems to be a better football player than what many people in the mainline sports media give him the credit. Do you think there's some sort of discrimination going on toward Tim Tebow?
Well, Gary, let me just cite this example. When he played for the Denver Broncos, he took an 0-3 team. He took them from 0-3 to 7-3. And I know this is going to hurt those of you that are Pittsburgh Steelers fans, but the Broncos under Tebow's leadership defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers in a playoff game with a phenomenal pass right down the middle of the field that was caught and run in for a touchdown. The pass, of course, thrown by Tebow. So, yeah, Gary, I think there is. I think it has to do with his faith, the fact that he lives it so clearly, so unequivocally. I think there's a bias against him. And I would admit he is not the most he's not your typical quarterback. He's a lefty. It's sometimes he wins ugly, as is said in the sports world, but he's a winner. And so I hope he does well at the Eagles, and I commend them for picking him up, to be quite honest with you. I think it's going to be a great move.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch. After the break, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be talking about something that we are watching, and that is the idea that some federal agents out in California and Minnesota have arrested six people who are headed to Syria to join ISIS. We're going to be talking about that when we come back. You are listening to Stand in the Gap today. We'll be back with more right after this.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, And Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. And for David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. And, of course, this is a program that is a part of the American Pastors Network ministry. And we are delighted to be with you on this Monday, wherever you might be. CBS Channel 4, which is WCCO out of the Minneapolis, Minnesota area, is reporting that FBI agents arrested at least six people in Minneapolis and San Diego for suspicion of trying to join ISIS over the weekend. Now, the authorities say that efforts of a joint terrorism task force led to these arrests, and of course, I think that should be something that most of us in Americans are concerned about. From what we understand, there were five of them right there in the Minneapolis area and one out in San Diego. And of course, the six people taken into custody may be connected to the ongoing investigation specifically of Twin City residents who are traveling to Syria to support ISIS over the past year. It's interesting to note that the United States Attorney's Office in Minnesota and the FBI are holding a news conference probably even as we are speaking to give an update on this. But one of the things that they are saying is that this is no threat to our public safety. This is no threat to our public safety that people from the United States of America are actually going over to Syria and wanting to join ISIS. Now, David Kistler, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. And, I mean, what are your thoughts? Shouldn't we be very, very concerned when we hear that Americans, people who are citizens here in the United States of America, are going over to Syria to join ISIS? I mean, eventually that's going to come back to the United States, is it not?
Well, Gary, it's already in the United States. And let me just give some statistics that I think maybe our listeners will find very, very interesting. Right now in the city of Minneapolis, Minnesota, there are about 1.8 to 1.9 million residents. Of those 1.8 to 1.9 million, about 130,000 of them are Muslim. So, Gary, we're talking about, what is that, 8%, approaching 9% of the current population of Minneapolis, Minnesota is Muslim. And statewide, it is estimated that there are about 80,000 plus Somalis that have immigrated into the state of Minnesota. So, Gary, it should be of great concern, not just that they're going overseas and coming back, having been, as the media calls it, radicalized. There are people that have moved into Minnesota that are already radicals and have come to this country, immigrated to that state, to that city more specifically. So, Gary, it is an enormous potential threat. It's something that we had better pay much attention to. And it looks like to me that second to Dearborn, Michigan, looks like the city of Minneapolis, Minnesota is a target city on the part of the Muslim population to basically immigrate there and try to exert more influence in an effort ultimately to take over that city like they've done in Dearborn. So, Gary, this is not a light issue at all.
You know, and of course, yes, indeed, a lot of those folks who are from America going over to join ISIS have Islamic background. But we also know that there have been some non-Muslims who have tried to go to Syria or who have gone to Syria to join up with ISIS. And Sam Rohr, the question that I have for you is, why is it that it seems as though there are some Americans who are running to join the forces of ISIS? Do you think that that is, number one, such a great influence from Islam? Or is it, number two, because there's such a hatred for the American system, even by American citizens today?
Gary, it's a combination, I think, of all of those. One, you know, as Dave said just a little bit ago, there is a concerted effort. I mean, we've talked about it before, and we will have more on this program in the days ahead, speaking specifically about the inroads by Islam into this nation. But bear in mind, as we're seeing with ISIS in the Middle East, and Iran just the other day, it came out and they had a parade just the other day, again, talking about death to Israel, death to the United States. The active movement of Islam has been to integrate into this country, as they have in Europe, establish their local mosques with their training elements around them and teaching, and there's a lot of things we've talked about on here before. But again, part of what is that there is an intentional design. There is a game plan, put it in that perspective, for the attempt by Islam to undermine this this nation from within, as well as the threats from those without to take us down, in totality. So it is a major concern, obviously, in what you've just cited, this particular example. This is not the first time that individuals have been detained or caught because of their intention to emigrate overseas. So they are not a potential threat. They are a walking threat. Because if anybody who is in this country seeks to want to go over there to put their lives at risk, do you not think for a minute that they're willing to put their lives at risk here in this nation, just waiting for the right opportunity? So this is a major issue, and it ought to be of top priority of our leaders in state and federal government to pursue this. But unfortunately, we have not been seeing this as an area of real interest by this current administration or others. And so it is a major issue, Gary.
Gary, let me just say this. I am not as concerned at all about those that are attempting to leave this country and go over to Syria or Iraq or whatever other country that they want to go and fight. My concerns are about those that are within the framework of the United States of America. They're attending a mosque weekly where they're being fed, as Sam said, this radical ideology. Gary, that's where my concern is. I can almost guarantee you that every one of these people that have attempted to leave the United States and go overseas have already thoroughly been indoctrinated within their mosque here in the United States. And so, Gary, if the U.S. authorities want to stop these people, they need to stop them where the radicalization is taking place, where the indoctrination is the word I prefer, not radicalization, because Islam itself is a radical, from a Western way of thinking, a radical ideology and a radical religion. But if it's going to be stopped, Gary, it's got to be stopped at where it starts. And that's in these mosques where this kind of indoctrination is taking place.
And Gary, and if I can jump in again, I'm following what Dave's saying, because it's exactly correct. So one, as you ask, there is a specific strategic effort to integrate and do what we're talking about here. But the second is because we nationally, and I would bring it back, I mean, not just those in government, but even frankly, much to the pulpit of America, by the failure to teach and to communicate what God's role has been in the formation of this country and the moral basis for our laws and what it means to have a Judeo-Christian biblical mentality that has given rise to this nation. The failure to teach that provides a ripe opportunity for those who wish to come intentionally and indoctrinate people to take us down and destroy us. These two pieces are necessary to work together. So we have to be aware of what's taking place, but we also must be very active in understanding where we came from and beginning to teach with boldness what our underlying biblical constitutional principles are that bring us to who and made us who and what we are. These two walk together, I think, Gary.
Powerful, powerful, Sam. Incredible. Gary, that statement Sam just made is the answer. And we are where we are because we have not done a good job from the pulpits or in any other place communicating the truth of our history. So that really is where it all goes back to. That's how we're going to turn this thing around, if it is turned around.
Well, you know, and the question that comes to my mind, and I almost hate to bring this up, but, you know, with the current administration in Washington, D.C., particularly the Obama White House, you know, their policies have seemed to be becoming more and more weak as it relates to Islam and Muslims. Of course, he's actually, in my opinion, he's opening the door for Islam to come into the United States of America. And so my question to you, Dave, is would you think that Obama's weak policies towards Islam, and even not only here in the United States, but over in the Middle East, would contribute to people wanting to join up with ISIS? Could there be a connection there at all?
Well, Gary, in my opinion, I think there is. I think the president is at the very least, and I'm going to use that phrase, at the very least, very Muslim friendly. His policies are anti-Israel. Many of his policies, Gary, tragically, and it hurts me to even say this about an American president, but his policies are anti-United States. They're anti-America. They're certainly anti-God. And if we watch just this Iranian nuclear deal, he now is wanting to remove the sanctions the moment the deal is signed. And that those are congressionally approved and congressionally established sanctions. And yet our president wants to remove them without any verification that Iran is following through with the quote unquote elements of the deal that are going to be beneficial to the United States. So, yes, Gary, he is almost complicit with the advance of Islam in this country because he is so weak, so incredibly, incredibly weak in the decisions he makes. He will not call Islam or call terrorists Islamic terrorists. So, yeah, it's a huge deal, Gary, and he's contributing in a large way.
I want to mention, ladies and gentlemen, that next Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday here in the Altoona, Pennsylvania, we're going to be having a conference on Israel, Islam, and the Middle East. It's going to be a conference that will be conducted by an expert. Tom Wallace is his name. And I would encourage you to consider coming to Altoona on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday next week. That's this upcoming Sunday. And learn more about Israel, Islam, and the Middle East. When we come back, we're going to talk about the threat that ISIS is to Christians. We'll be back with more right after this break. I'm Gary Dell.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
One of the things that we need to be concerned about, ladies and gentlemen, is the growth of ISIS and the threat that it has upon those of us who are Christians. Over the weekend, from Cairo, Egypt, it was brought out that the Islamic State militants in Libya shot and beheaded groups of captive Ethiopian Christians. And, of course, that was put on the video. Some of you probably have seen it by now. But that particular attack widens the circle of nations affected by the group's atrocities while showing its growth beyond a self-declared caliphate in Syria and Iraq. According to the information that we have, the release of the 29-minute video comes a day after Afghanistan's president blamed the extremists for a suicide attack in his country that killed at least 35 people and underscores the chaos gripping Libya after its 2011 civil war and, of course, the killing of dictator Muammar Gaddafi. In addition to that, it also mirrored a film released in February showing militants beheading 21 captured Egyptian Christians on a Libyan beach, which immediately drew Egyptian airstrikes on the group's suspected positions in Libya. And, of course, you know, I guess we might be able to understand why this attack was upon the Ethiopian Christians, because Ethiopia long has drawn the anger of Islamic extremists over its military attacks on neighboring Somalia and whose population is almost entirely Muslim. And of course, we're seeing this almost every day, or at least every week, that once again, ISIS has attacked Christians. And Sam, I want to go to you first here with this particular question. With the growth of ISIS, and of course with the intent that it appears, well, not only appears, but really shows that they have to kill Christians. My question to you is twofold. Number one, do you see this as the overall goal of Islam to do what it can to rule the world? And secondly, to what degree should we as Christians prepare for this? Because even as we sit in our homes right now and see what's going on over in Africa and the Middle East and so many other places, with people from the United States of America aligning themselves with ISIS, as we just spoke about in the last segment, one of these days they're going to be knocking at our doors. That is, one of these days ISIS will be coming up to preachers and Christians all across this country with a threat and maybe even acts of terror against their lives. So, number one, is this all a part of the Islamic desire to take over the world? And secondly, how should we as Christians prepare for this here in America?
Gary, it is absolutely a part of the Islamic attempt to take over the world, establishing a new caliphate. That's what the ideology has been all about for a long time. So we don't need to wonder if making that statement is perhaps jumping ahead a little bit. We need but take them at their word. We need but look in their own document, the Quran, to find out that this is exactly what they believe they must do as a part of their ideology. So the killing of Christians is exactly what they are to do. It's not a unfortunate side street that happens with a few. It is a mainstream teaching. It is exactly what it's all about, because domination and the extermination of Israel and the United States, Christianity, is exactly what it's all about. So should we be concerned about it from the standpoint of personally being knowledgeable and aware? Should we be, as leaders, a part of trying to inform people about it? Should we, as a part of those who are in positions of governmental authority, be doing what they can to fulfill their obligation to protect the people of these United States and to come to the aid of those who are being murdered and so forth as they're doing? The answer is all of those things are exactly correct, Gary, and they should be. So when we talk about these things here in this program, it's not to take and raise a level of alarm that is unjustified or in any other way, manufactured. It is a simple conclusion for what is a very, very clear and obvious and ongoing fact around the world. And the only reason that it is not happening here is because in this country there is yet a system of law and justice that has the power to sit on top perhaps of some of this activity. But bear in mind, the effort has always been when they get about 10% of the population, as what Dave talked about in Minneapolis, or about 10% of the population there, at that point they begin to rise up and begin to challenge the system. It is a part of the ideology. So that is why it's important that we cover it here and understand that what's happening overseas is not that necessarily far away from happening here. There are not that many things that have to happen before, in fact, it could take place. That is their goal.
Well, I think they said at one particular point that within 5 years, of course, when I say they, I mean ISIS. I've heard some of their leaders say that within 5 years, they will meet us in Manhattan. And of course, I don't think that we're going to have to wait 5 years for that. And Dave, my question to you on this line is, in my opinion, I think it's going to be relatively soon when pastors of churches, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, churches that stand upon the authority of the Word of God, are going to be confronted by members of ISIS or otherwise members of Islam, and either threatened or have their life taken because of the fact that they're preaching truth. And my question to you, Brother Dave, is what can a pastor do today to, number one, equip his own congregation to stand against the threats of ISIS here in the United States of America? And secondly, what can a pastor do to equip himself for the potential of being confronted by ISIS one of these days just because of the fact that he preaches truth?
Well, Gary, let me say this. I have no doubt that what you've said is going to become a reality in the United States of America. If ISIS has already done what they've already done, and what I'm referring to is issuing threats against the families of U.S. military merely because military members have been involved in bombing ISIS targets and militarily going against these ISIS entities, then the day will soon come when those like us or other pastors who are bold enough to speak against ISIS, we're going to be attacked for our speech, trying to unveil or unmask the religion of Islam, more specifically this ISIS entity, and let the American public and let congregations see it for what it really is. So Gary, what can a pastor do? Number one, he needs to educate himself on the reality of what Islam really is all about. And again, this weekend, if I could put a plug in for my dear friend, your dear friend, Tom Wallace, that's going to be speaking there in Altoona. This is a wonderful opportunity to listen to hear from one of America's foremost authorities on the religion of Islam, on the topic of ISIS. And Tom is both of those. He is a phenomenal man. He grew up in England. He watched the advance of Islam across the UK. That's what motivated him to come here to the United States to try to awaken the American church. And so education on the part of the pastor relative to what Islam really is, what it believes, what their goals for global domination are, and they do have goals for global domination. As far as a pastor protecting himself, Gary, we're going to have to walk by faith. Our forebears, honestly, Gary, and I don't relish the thought of this. You don't, Sam doesn't. But our forebears who spoke truth just had to deal with the fact that it could at some point mean incarceration. It could at some point mean the loss of their life. And men, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic here, but because I speak so much about this topic and I'm being asked to do so specifically relative to ISIS and the religion of Islam, my wife and I have already had the conversation. We've already talked about it. And rather than remaining silent out of fear, we've got to courageously, trusting our God to keep us safe, we move forward and we speak to these issues. And every pastor needs to do this. Every pastor owes, as the shepherd of his flock, he owes his congregation and he owes the Lord the requirement of speaking truth relative to these things. Hiding your head in the sand will not solve anything. Speaking truth relative to this can solve a lot.
Well, it can. And, you know, of course, yesterday at the church service at Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, where I pastor, we have a media ministry. And, of course, I on radio, television, and the World Wide Web, I, number one, challenged people to pray for the salvation of these people who are in ISIS. And secondly, you know, I gave the gospel to any Muslim who's out there, particularly to those who are in ISIS, because we never know where the program is going to be reached at, picked up by way of the internet. But Sam, one of the things that I come across from time to time is the idea that people say, well, I have friends who are Muslim, and they don't seem to be radical. They don't seem to be following the Quran on this idea of world domination. How would you respond to that?
Gary, we should respond to that just like we respond to any potential neighbor or someone that we walk into who does not know the Lord. We must be driven individually with a concern for the heart, for the salvation of these people. They live next door. Should we run from them? No, we should seek to reach out to them, to manifest the light of the gospel. These folks who do not know the Lord, regardless of their ideology, are looking and searching for truth. They're on the wrong path. They need to know what Jesus Christ can do. That's number one. If you're in government, then government needs to take the action against those who are seeking to take us down militarily and to kill us. But personally, Gary, we need to reach out and pray and work for those who are next to us.
We'll be back with more right after this, ladies and gentlemen, on Stand the Gap Today.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And for Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl of the American Pastors Network. One of the things that we see taking place a lot in America today, which every one of us dislike, is the idea of corruption in government. And, of course, I'm located in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and one of our radio stations, two of our radio stations in the Altoona area carry this particular program. And over the weekend, it was brought out that one of our local United States representatives is sort of in the middle of a, a situation. I don't think that we would like him to be there. We would rather him not be involved with it. But, of course, he's involved with this scandal in his own way and then due to his own actions. And I'm talking about Bill Shuster. Bill Shuster is the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee Chairman for the United States House of Representatives. And it has turned out that he is dating a top lobbyist for the leading United States Airline Trade Association, which is an organization that spends millions of dollars trying to influence what Bill Shuster does. Bill is currently at the center of this high-stakes negotiations to enact what they call the most sweeping overhaul of the Federal Aviation Administration in decades. The package could include changes to the nation's air travel system, including the privatization of air traffic control systems. Airlines for America's members, all of the nation's largest airlines, have major interest in this particular legislation. Well, as it turns out, that Bill Shuster is dating the vice president of America for their Airlines for America. Her name is Shelley Rubino. They've been romantically involved ever since last summer, according to multiple sources. And it was brought out over the weekend that Bill has basically confessed to this relationship. He said, and I quote, "Ms. Rubino and I have a private and personal relationship, and out of respect for her and my family, that's all I will say about that." Now, according to the information we have, Shuster added that his office has in place a policy that deals with personal relationships that cover his staff and himself. This was created in consultation with legal counsel and goes further than is required by the law, according to Shuster. And under that policy, Ms. Rubino doesn't lobby his office, including himself and his staff. Of course, we do know that Shuster got divorced last year from his wife of more than 20 years. It's interesting to note that an official with the Airlines for America said that the group has consulted outside counsel about Rubino's relationship with Shuster. A4A, as the group is known, also said Rubino does not lobby the eighth-term lawmaker directly. But the trade group did not respond when asked whether she lobbies other committee members, of course, that Bill Shuster oversees. Now, Sam, you've been involved with government for many, many years, and to me, this smells like a dead rat. You know, certainly as the days go on, more information is coming out about Bill Schuster's relationship with Shelley Rubino. And of course, you know, his father, Bud Schuster, resigned from Congress due to some corruption and the scandal that took place there. What do you see is going to be developing here in the sense, I mean, they're saying that what he's doing is illegal, is not illegal, excuse me. What he's saying is not illegal, but is it ethical? And is it the kind of activity that a representative who chairs a such an important committee should be involved with?
Well, Gary, very, very clearly, right up front, let it be stated that I don't know what is in the congressman's heart. I don't know all of the complete details. However, as you said, it smells like a rat. Now, at the heart of all of this is the idea that anyone who is in a position of leadership must be overtly careful that they don't do anything that gives rise to even the suspicion of the nature of what they are doing. Now, for him to confess that he has a relationship with someone who was not his wife, and for him to confess to these things, but then bear down, which is bear down on the technicalities of the law by saying, well, I didn't precisely break the law, or of which, in this kind of case, the lobbying efforts, be they in the House, I mean, in state legislature or the federal, these lobbying efforts are just they are prime ground for bad fruit to be born, and so much of it is, as you say, it goes to the letter of the law. Does she, in this case, talking with him, consummate or meet the requirements of lobbying, or is it just a very personal discussion on the side? Well, we would look and say, is there any real difference? No, there really isn't. But in the matter of the law, there is. So they try to escape it. The issue goes to the heart, though, of the moral issue, the ethical issue. And I would just stay here because I know we have a short on time here, but all of this is part of the larger issue of corruption finding its way into the decision-making process. Guaranteed in all of these things, the matter of what we call bribery, things that where money or other things transact back and forth to influence a decision or a person to do something that they otherwise would not do. I mean, even in the commercial earlier break in this program, the Common Core talked about the states taking money from the federal government to give up their rights on education. That's bribery. Same thing, just a different application. When anything is done to alter a decision that otherwise ought to be there, in this case, a congressman making a decision that is consistent with the Constitution, consistent with moral law, but otherwise influenced away from that, that's bribery. That's corruption. And I will tell you, from God's perspective, that is the same thing that equates or develops injustice. And that is a violation of a major purpose of the role of government. And when these things happen, not only do people like us look and say, oh, man, how can this be? And then the taxpayers are exploited, all that kind of thing. But also brings God's judgment on the nation that does it when these things are left in place, Gary, and justified as well. Perhaps it doesn't actually break the technical part of the law and try to justify a rent. There is no justification for bribery or corruption or injustice. These are serious matters.
You know, it's interesting to note that this isn't the first time Bill Schuster's personal interactions with female lobbyists have been an issue. He was said to be among a half dozen congressmen that then Minority Leader John Boehner spoke to about parting with female lobbyists at a Capitol Hill townhouse, according to news reports back in 2010. And so, Dave, the question that I have for you is it possible for a person who is upright, for a person who is ethical, for a person who is righteous, to go to Washington, D.C. and stay away from scandals like this? I mean, every now and then you hear it. You hear it too often. And we only have 20 seconds for your answer. I'd be delighted to hear it.
Well, Gary, yes, it is possible to go to Washington, D.C. and stay away from these things. But as Sam said, you're going to have to draw a line in the sand that keeps you away from this. This thing with Bill Schuster is, at the very least, a politically incestuous relationship. If he were a federal judge, he would have to recuse himself. And so that's what he ought to do in this situation. He ought to step away. But yeah, it's wrong. But yeah, Gary, you can go there and you can be right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. The Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow. Until then, for Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl, saying stand up for faith and freedom, keep looking up, and watch God work. The best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.